Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
Hey, we're back. It is Silver and Black today, an Odyssey original podcast. Thank you guys all for being with us. We hope Raider Nation is in a good mood. It is football time. Game on Thursday, the Raiders and the Jaguars in Canton, Ohio. We're going to talk about that in the last segment, but we'll also obviously do a full game preview with the latest coming out of Henderson and out of Canton, actually, as the team flew today, Tuesday, to Canton, Ohio to prepare for Thursday's game. They're already there, so we will talk about that and get to you the latest and the greatest. So that'll be like our preview show coming up on Thursday. But the rest of this show, we'll get to the rest of the news. Mo, a lot of stuff I want to talk about. I got to take my sheet out here because there's so much stuff going on in camp. But a couple things. News from camp, injuries. Of course, every team has injuries. Some are more significant than others. Kyler Fackrell out for the season. That was their kind of third edge rusher. Chandler Jones has missed 4 practices in a row as of Monday. And Fackrell is, I think, to me, a big loss because they were kind of counting on him to come in and be a bolster to that. Now, of course, you have Jones, you have Crosby, but his injury is one that people were kind of concerned about. Here's what McDaniel said about that injury and what it means for the Raiders heading into week one of the preseason.
Yeah, you know, any time we lose a player to injury reserve, it's a loss. You know, but you have 90 guys on the roster that are all competing for this reason, you know, and, you know, football is a physical game and a contact sport. And so there's going to be some of these things that happen along the way. And I think the most important thing, you know, we can do is, number one, get him back to health. And then, you know, secondly, we just, you know, we can't stop at any point in time during the course of training camp or the regular season to feel sorry for ourselves. And we don't, you know, our group's, you know, really competitive. Those guys have been working really hard, and we have depth at that position. And, you know, we're going to see how it plays out over the course of training camp. But guys have stepped up, you know, and, you know, in the, you know, in some of the absences we've had already, and they have opportunities, you know. So if somebody goes down with an injury, that certainly presents an opportunity for others, and hopefully some of those guys will take advantage of it.
All right, Bo, taking advantage of it, Kendall Vickers, Malcolm Kuntz, Jerry Green getting the snaps. They are not Chandler Jones or Kyler Fackrell, excuse me. How big of a loss is that for the Raiders?
I think it's a moderate loss. A lot of people are not going to make a lot of noise about Fackrell. They don't know too much about him, but he played under Patrick Graham with the Giants. Mm-hmm. I believe he had a 10.5 sack season a few years ago. So he knows the system. He can get you production in a designated pass rushing role. Not having him is a blow to me, because if Crosby or Jones go down with an injury, who's going to be your starting edge to fill in the void. So I think they need a third guy, and they are a proven third guy. And a lot of fans are high on Malcolm Coutts, and I think Malcolm Coutts can fill in a role. But I'm always of the belief that you have a veteran along with a young guy, just in case the young guy doesn't pan out how you think, and you can get a veteran to just get you those snaps, fill in snaps immediately without worrying about, okay, is he in the right position? No, that guy usually knows where he has to be. It's a matter of, can he make the plays at his age? And I'll throw out a sizzling hot take right now.
Uh-oh.
I think the Raiders should call Jason Pierre-Paul. Jason Pierre-Paul played under Patrick Graham with the Giants in 2016-2017. Patrick Graham was the D-line coach there, so he played directly under Graham, who was his position coach, and he's a free agent right now. He's working out in Florida. He's a native of Florida, so he said, according to Josina Anderson of CBS Sports, he's going to take his time picking his new team, and I think the Raiders would be a good fit for him. He's played in four-man fronts. He's played in odd-man fronts, so he has the versatility. Yes, he is 32, 33 years old, but if he can get you 5, 6, 7 sacks and a designated pass rushing role as the third guy, I think that's what you would want out of your veteran pickup at on the edge.
That's an intriguing suggestion, Mo. I think that if the Mostradamus globe is out, then maybe they make that move, because you're right. And that's the thing that I didn't understand with some of the reaction to the Fackrell loss. People are like, oh, yeah, whatever. He was an upgrade, okay? So, yes, Malcolm Coutts, I know he's a young player. Fans like him, and he's got potential, but that's potential. That's not a veteran in a system that they're familiar with, number one. Kendall Vickers, we know what Kendall Vickers is. Good ball player, but Fackrell was an upgrade to all of those guys. And listen, with Chandler Jones, and we don't know his status now, I'm not freaking out about it. It's early with veterans. You want them to get healthy for the regular season anyway. And he, at his age, too, and the mileage he's had on him, I think it's smart to keep him out, even if he's just got a little bit of soreness or whatever it is bothering him. We don't know what it is. But I that's a smart move to me. But you look at him, you look at Jerry Green, nothing to write home about either. So Jason Pierre-Paul signing would be a good one, but this team, I think, is going to have to address that offensive line position that we talked about first, I think. But they have the money to go out and make the moves. Mo, the other thing I want to talk about, too, with this is some of the other positions that we've been keeping an eye on. At linebacker, we haven't talked a lot about it. Micah Kizer gone for the year. Injured. It's been his problem in the NFL, right? Good young player, too. I really liked him coming out of college, but he just can't stay on the field. He gets injured. We saw reports from camp that he was carried out, stretchered out, and that didn't look good. And sure enough, they put him on IR on Monday. You have Denzel Perryman, Jayon Brown, of course, and Divine Diablo. But they are going to have to do something there, too, because they need more bodies, right, at linebacker.
I think Kenny Young is probably going to soak up some reps. My sleeper, and he's been my sleeper for months now, people are just now starting to pick up on this, just saying. I think Darren Butler is going to make the 50-man roster, and I think he's going to contribute. You know, a lot of people are just now picking up on it. I've been saying it again. Let me say this again. I've been saying that for months now, that Darren Butler is going to make the 50-man roster. This is before Micah Kizer's injury. This is before anything was going on. I just think Darren Butler is going to be a good fit, because you need that hybrid-type player who can possibly play in the middle of the field, maybe be a big nickel safety or a linebacker. So I think with that, with their linebacker group, they'll probably maybe add a guy or two. But I think behind Jayon Brown, Denzel Perryman, and Divine Diablo, Darian Butler and Kenny Young are going to have the most increased opportunities. I think Darian Butler is the guy to watch at camp.
Yeah, and you did call him out. I think you called him out on one of your columns, too, if I recall. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yes, on columns, shows. Ever I would say back since April, it's like Darian Butler is the undrafted rookie free agent who's going to make the Raiders roster.
They need him to step up now, too, obviously, with the injury. Let's go to safety, where maybe you weren't as correct based on the buzz coming out of camp, which is Jonathan Abram, Trayvon Morig. We weren't concerned with Morig. They're getting the majority of the snap reports with Daron Harmon, a great pickup as well, getting kind of that third rotational safety time in camp. So that's where it is now. Again, a lot can change over the next couple weeks, but it's good to hear that Abrams is actually doing well and that they are staying on the field. Unlike the Leatherwood situation, where he's been moving around, he's sometimes there, sometimes not. It sounds like Jonathan's actually stepped up, seems to be grasping that Patrick Graham system pretty well and performing well too.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, the difference there is that Jonathan Abram has clear strengths and weaknesses. Outside of what's still an early part of his career, we don't know what he could be and what his absolute strengths are. But with Jonathan Abram, we know he needs to be close to the line of scrimmage. He doesn't need to be in space or 10, 15 yards from the line of scrimmage. So as long as they keep him in the box or close to the box, close to the line of scrimmage, going downhill, I think he'll be fine. With Daron Harmon, regardless of where he is in rotation, I think he's still going to get reps as a third safety in the big nickel formation. If they don't have a slot cornerback and Nate Hobbs out there, I can see Daron Harmon being the fifth defensive back. You also had dime packages where you got six defensive backs on the field. So he'll still get those snaps. But right now, obviously, it's Merrick and then it's Jonathan Abram getting most of the snaps at safety, which is kind of what you want to see from your two first and second round picks from recent years.
Yeah, no doubt. They also let's go to running back. Running back, Raiders went and signed Austin Walter. He comes to the Raiders, was on the Jets and San Francisco practice squads last year, appeared in four games with the Jets, and had a career-high 26 carries for 100 yards and a touchdown. Camp body, right? I mean, this is a guy just bringing in. Zamir White was back at practice. Seems like he's whatever was bothering him. And for a college guy coming in, man, getting banged up the first few days and all the workouts, obviously back. What do we think with that running back? We've seen Kenyon Drake. Sounds like he's doing really well. Of course, Josh Jacobs. What do you think about Zamir White? I mean, we talked about him being a practice squad guy more than likely, but he's one of those guys, too, the fans are really behind and want to see out there on the field. Hopefully he gets some reps on Thursday and then in the coming weeks.
So I think Zamir White will probably get second half reps, or carries. He's not going to be much of a factor at the beginning of the season. It's usually hard for a rookie player to miss time and then take on a big role early in the season. So the pecking order is going to be Josh Jacobs, Kenyon Drake, and Brandon Bolden getting most of the snaps at running back. Drake and Bolden are going to handle most of the pass catching responsibilities, with Josh Jacobs getting 12 to 15 carries per game. But Drake is the guy, again, I'll reiterate this again, I think Drake is the guy that's going to perform a lot better than people think, because he's going to get, you know, 5 to 8 carries a game, and he's going to get a lot of targets. Going to be very much involved in that offense. So he's the guy with circle as the guy that could exceed expectations. But Zamir White, it's going to take him a while.
Yeah, it is. But anyway, that's good. They got a nice room there and some depth, which is fantastic for this team heading into the preseason. All right, we'll switch to defensive backs. Mo, I've been a little surprised. We've heard a little bit, but it's been really quiet as far as evaluating. You'll hear a couple plays that are made, and you hear the beat reporters tweet out so-and-so made a nice defense against Davante Adams or against Hunter Renfrow, but we're not hearing a lot about the actual performance of that young defensive back core. But the media did ask, in his last press conference, did ask McDaniels about that group and the competition there, and here's what
he
said.
Very competitive, mature, smart, they certainly have added an element of toughness and competition to our group, which is great. It's what we wanted to do in every room. you know, and right now, it, you know, they're doing anything and everything, you know, that they can to earn opportunities and more opportunities. So I think that group's been very competitive in practice. You know, we've had some back and forth with the receivers. You know, some days the receivers may get the better of them. Some days they don't, you know. And so the competition across the ball and at that position has been good, and I think we've enhanced it with those guys.
So it's preseason for us here too, so I kind of led that clip in the wrong way. He was talking about the defensive backs, the veterans added, the Rocky Sins and so on. And so, Mo, he talked there too about the presence that those veterans have had back there, which was key and good to hear. But what do you make of the fact that there's, out of all the positions on the field, that, and this was a big question mark, this is a big thing for the Raiders to get that defensive backfield in shape, we're not hearing much.
I like that we're not hearing much, because what grinds my gears sometimes in the preseason when we hear too much of the hype.
Yeah.
Oh, Brian Edwards. This is not a shot at anybody, because I Levi Edwards is my guy. And I don't think he may not start this, but I remember Brian Edwards being compared to T.O. and Randy Moss. Remember that? He was supposed to be that guy. And what did it turn into? Not much. So I don't read into, again, when it comes to preseason and offseason reports, I don't really start paying attention until about this time, late July, early August. Mm-hmm. And with Josh McDaniels not talking up his cornerbacks, I don't even think that's a sign of worry. I think that's good, because you don't want to give too much to these young guys who still have a lot to prove, by the way. Trevon Mullen, I know is hurt right now. Rocky Sin, Anthony Averett, those guys have, even Nate Hobbs, he's only going to his second year. It's a young group. So you don't want to fill their head up with too much praise and, oh, they're looking great. Oh, this could be the next Champ Bailey. This could be the next Charles Woodson. Don't do any of that. Just let those guys put their head down and grind. Let them show it on the field.
Well, I thought that was a brilliant answer by McDaniels too, because the question was about the veterans there, but obviously the media's reading the room. And I'm sure the coaches, and if you watched the previous press conferences over the last 2 weeks, actually, they're not really talking a lot about the young guys. They're really focusing on those veterans. It's a smart move by the team for the point you just made. And so I like that as well. It's going to be interesting to see. We'll see on Thursday night how some of those guys perform. And I think we'll know a little more for our own eyes where they stand as far as how they're progressing and where, if they need to be where they need to be for the beginning of the season. All right, now, before we head to the break, I want to get into one last thing about training camp, and that's Derek Carr. We talked last time about what Derek Carr needed to work on, and that was really just ball protection, right? It was not fumbling the ball. It's been a problem for Derek Carr through his career. Everything else has been okay. But the focus thing that we talked about last show as well as being the biggest difference, and I think the most important thing that Josh McDaniel and his staff have done around around this team and getting them prepared for this season is really that focus on always being ready, always making the right decisions, not making pre-snap penalties, not making bad choices that get your teams into trouble. That's where the Raiders have gotten into trouble the last couple of years. So Derek Carr talked a little bit about that. And
well, I can talk about Josh, and I know Josh has emphasized the heck out of that, you know, how you know, fumbled snaps, picks, fumbles, penalties, offense, defense, special teams, how fundamentals come into play on those things, and how we drill those things. And, you know, the fundamentals of things is something that we work really hard at, something that we do a lot of here in this, I guess, system, you know, in all three phases. And hopefully that'll result into what he's saying that happening for us. Hope so. You know, there's been times where I'm like, dude, no way, you know, and hopefully one of the things is like, hey, if that's the case, then we need to work 10 times harder at it. And so it's really been emphasized on fundamentals, making sure we can, the penalties that we can eliminate, especially the mental ones, the pre-snap ones, all those kind of things. It's really been a huge emphasis with Josh and our coaches.
There you go. Right. And you talked about it last time, too, which was this idea that you have to focus on that, the idea that the Raiders are not victims. The second half of that clip was a question where he was asked about the Raiders being the most penalized team, kind of insinuating that they get some calls on them that they don't deserve, which is true. Happens to a lot of teams as well. But in this case, Carr refocuses on, hey, we have to. I mean, I think he said fundamentals four or five times in that clip, right? And the point is that Derek Carr, even the words coming out of the players' mouths, you can kind of sense the culture and what's happening in the building, Mo, by how these guys talk and the phraseology they use, because they're hearing it in the classroom every day and they're hearing it on the field every day. And now you're hearing it with the quarterback.
Details, focus, not losing the game on your own account. Because a lot of these football games, and I've watched plenty of them, a lot of times it comes down to the end and the team beats itself with a penalty. And that's what I was talking about last week's show. Now, a lot of people listening to this are going to send me their paragraphs about ethical skeptic or what his research said. And believe me, I remember, because I'm the host of the show, so I remember who had that report and presented that data. But my point is that the Raiders are trying to eliminate the unnecessary penalties. Yes, you're going to have calls that go against you that are deemed unfair, and you may look at it as a slight against the Raiders, but as you said, it happens to every team. Maybe happened to Raiders more than any other team, but what you're trying to focus on are not the judgment calls, but the penalties that you can definitely eliminate. Derek Carr alluded to that at the podium, the pre-snap things, the mental errors. That's what you're trying to eliminate. That's what you can control. As far as some of the pass interference and holding calls, you know, that's a judgment call by the referee, but the false starts, you know, the botched snaps, you can fix that, and that has nothing to do with what the referee is doing or what the other team is doing. It's what you're doing in the building and practicing and getting over those mistakes and make sure it's a smooth, well-oiled machine.
Yeah, but Mo, didn't you see Max Crosby held on every play?
Yeah, of course. I mean, of course. That's what they're going to answer back. That's what they're going to say back to
me. Which is funny, because it's sort of like, hey, did you watch the NFL game on Monday? That soccer game was great. You know, I mean, like, it's like they're not connected. When you're talking about pre-snap penalties, when you're talking about beating yours, the Raiders over the last 10 years have beat themselves so much. Now, I'm not arguing the other point. Again, like you said, we host the show. I had the guest on, the ethical skeptic, several times. Okay.
Yes.
So I get it. I know the data. I'm just saying, when it comes to beating yourselves, the Raiders have been the best in the league at it. And that's because of the things that they need to avoid that Derek Carr talked about. And I just like that these guys, and it's different. I just get a different sense how they speak about this and that focus than they did under Gruden and Mayock. So to me, it's a very, very good sign. All right, we're going to go to one more break here. When Mo and I come back, we're going to get into not a conspiracy theory. Mo's trying to make me look bad. We're going to get into the numbers around the Hall of Fame game. Is it indicative of how the teams in the game will perform later in the year? Does it have some impact? Probably not, but we're going to get into the statistics and talk about that a little bit as we move forward here on Silver and Black Today, an original Odyssey podcast. As you know, again, hit the subscribe button, whether you're on YouTube or the podcast. We appreciate that. We'll step aside when we come back. Hall of Fame game. What does it mean? We'll talk to you right after this. Don't go anywhere.